smooth jazz playing or some Frank Sinatra, a little Nat King Cole. Y'all young folks don't know nothing about no Nat King Cole and Frank Sinatra. But my, tap into it. It's some good stuff, man. It'll rock your world. But when that happens, I know it's just going to be me and Lori. And I know it's just to relax and enjoy each other evening. And I really think that Yahweh wants to come in and this morning just be a time of just some smooth jazz for us, okay? Just some smooth jazz for us where He wants to just come in and just speak some things. Y'all turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Genesis 41. As I said earlier, I'm good right now, baby, thank you. I'm going to combine some teaching and a couple prophetic words that the Lord mandated me to release this morning. So let's just dive in. We kind of started on this Wednesday night. I encourage you, if you can at all possible, come on Wednesday nights. If you can't come on Wednesday nights, make sure you listen to the podcast. Make sure you listen to the podcast. So no matter who's bringing the word, it's always good stuff. And I just want to challenge you to just engage and connect on new levels. I want to read a few things. As last week I had, as you ladies were having ladies meeting on Tuesday night, I had just some awesome time with the Lord. It's one of those, just ain't even going to cut the TV on. We're just going to get in, me and the Lord alone in the kitchen. And it was, I had a two or three good hours with just me and Him. And He was just speaking some things to me. And I think these things are, they were for me, but they're for the house as well. They're for certain people in the house. Maybe not everybody is at this place, but everybody is on the journey. And I want you to understand, and I said this Wednesday, I want you to understand we're not all at the same place on our timeline. I come in from a place of 30 years into this in ministry, 36 years into marriage. I have children, I have grandchildren, so my timeline on where I'm at in the Lord is different than where most of you guys are. Different than where most of you guys are. And so sometimes when I come up and I share where I'm at with God and what He's doing, you can't relate. But what I hope that you can do is you can see God's marrying of Himself onto our lives and say, man, if he can do that for them and in them and through them, then I know that He is no respecter of persons, and He wants to do just as much or even greater in my life. And so I want it to be something that inspires you and gives you permission, something that gives you hope to what God can and will do to you. A lot of people come in, they're like, man, God just doesn't, He don't speak to me like He speaks to you and all of that stuff and everything. I don't talk to Lori now like I talked to Lori when she was 20. Our language was totally different. Our language then was about the moment and what we were about to do and all of that, and now our language is about generational stuff. Our language is about generations and not legacy from the sense of, oh, look what we've accomplished or anything, but the fact that we want to make a huge impact in the earth. And so our language is different. And so if you say, man, I don't hear from God like you hear from God, I want to encourage you, just keep pressing in. Just keep pressing in. I talk to my grandchildren who are from the ages of 2 to 8 totally different than I talk to their parents. Because of where they're at in this journey of life. And so, man, just keep pressing in. Posture yourself properly. Carve out time for you and God. And I promise you, He'll start speaking to you on different levels. You know, and sometimes it's like deep words, and sometimes it's just, wow, hey, Sid, check out that amazing sunset. You know. I mean, last night we were getting ready to go to an engagement party, and it's official, isn't it? Hey, Grant got engaged, guys. You know, yeah, Grant Garner, my nephew, he got engaged. Just a wonderful girl. Y'all will get to meet her probably in the summertime, because Grant's about to go back to Dubai. Grant's a son of the house, and he's been a missionary in Dubai been a missionary overseas. Can we edit that out of the podcast? We can't. Okay, well, sorry. Yahweh take care of it. But anyway, he got engaged this weekend to just a wonderful girl from, she's a teacher over at Jack State. And, both of them have, they've held out for God's best for their life. And, you know, I'm just really, really proud for him. So y'all celebrate with Grant. You probably, he's going back to his mission field in the Middle East, next week. So you won't, you know, you probably won't get a chance to see him, but he'll be spending a few months with us this summer. So, we look forward to that. So that's just a celebration thing. But, I'm sorry I lost track of this, but, anyway, the Lord was just speaking some things to me, and I wanted to just to share a few of these things and then dive in and just start releasing some word. You know, the Lord told us at the beginning of the year that a word for us for this year, 2019, was extraordinary, and that you know, He wanted us to live an extraordinary life. And so with renewed vigor and renewed pursuit, we began this journey of, God, I want our life not just to be well lived, but I want it to be extraordinary. I want it to be beyond ordinary. I want it to be beyond ordinary church life, beyond ordinary Christian life, beyond ordinary. I've been in ministry for 30 years and all of that stuff, you know. We pat ourselves on the back for our participation trophies. We pat ourselves on the back for our participation trophies. And if you celebrate a participation trophy, that means you really hadn't done much and accomplished much. I'm sorry, I ain't hating. I hate it that they come in now with all the little kids and their sports, and they don't even keep score anymore. And I'm like, man, if we're going to do that, let's just all go out on the playground and play on the playground. Because we're competing to win. We're competing to measure ourselves against others. And we come in church life and we think that I'm going to, you know, go into heaven and I've got all of these crowns and I'm going to cast them at Jesus' feet. And somehow I just don't think the participation trophy counts as a crown to be cast at Jesus' feet. And we pat ourselves on the back because, you know, brother, I go to church. That's awesome, man. You go to work every day too. I tithe. Cool, man, you pay taxes out of your paycheck every week. And we think because we do the basic things that we're going to come in and we're going to be extraordinary and change the world. God showed me at the end of 2018, beginning of 2019, that my life was not extraordinary. It was well lived, but not extraordinary. And I've set in my heart to change that. And that's not so everybody will look at us and say, ooh, look at that and all this stuff. It's because I want to have a true impact on this planet. I'm going to share some stuff that God showed me out of Joseph that'll kind of challenge you. I promise you, it's going to challenge you over the next 2 or 3 weeks. But I believe it is true, biblical. This is what Yahweh says to us and about us. And I want, there's some of you guys that are going to latch onto this. And some of you are still going to be scratching your head. But I want to tell you something. It is not a respecter of age. I told Madeline in the side room, I've enjoyed just sitting back and watching and help participate in how God is evolving you as a worship leader. I ain't leaving Noah out of the mix, but I've just sit back, man, and I've been digging it. I've been really digging it. And God wants to come in, and He wants to use every one of us, not just the guys that are 50 years old and been doing it a long time and we ain't got nothing better to do. Guess what? I got stuff that the world would say that is better to do, but it's really not better to do. Because there's nothing that makes me come alive other than Him. There's nothing that makes me come alive or more fulfilled than kingdom life and kingdom living. And pouring out. And so I look at, just let me read a couple things. Tuesday night the Lord spoke to me and He said 2019 is a launching point. A launching point for the rest of mine and Lori's life. In the sense that God's going to pull the roof off the possibilities in our lives. That's pretty exciting. I'm about to turn 57 and that's pretty doggone exciting. God said that I'm about to launch you out. I'm 57 and He's about to launch me out. And He said, I'm going to pull the roof off the possibilities. I'm going to pull the roof off the possibilities. And when He said launch you out, it wasn't like release you as a dove. It was literally the vision that He gave me as He was speaking that to me sitting at my kitchen table was I am going to, like a rocket, I'm going to launch you out. And there's going to be so much thrust, and it's going to take a lot of thrust because I want to get you into a different atmosphere. Come on, somebody. See, when God gave Isaiah his word in 61, it wasn't just to Isaiah. It was, I claim that too. Isaiah can claim it if he wants to, but that's my scripture. And so as God starts speaking these words, if you feel something stirring in you, if you feel something come alive in you, that's God speaking that same thing to you. And he told us, he told me, he said, I'm going to launch you. 2019 is going to be a year where I launch you, and it's not going to be a thing of releasing you like a dove. It's like I'm going to be thrusting you out. I'm going to be thrusting you out. And he said, I'm going to take the roof off of all of your possibilities, all the possibilities, all the limitations that you feel like you've had in your life, for whatever reason, whatever it is. And God asked me a question. He carried me over to Joshua. I think it's chapter 1, verse 3. And God's coming to Joshua, and the children of Israel are about to come into the promised land. I'll get to the text in a minute. And he came into about to go into the promised land, and God came in and he gave him a promise. He said, everywhere that the sole of your foot touches, I have given that land to you. And God asked me a question. He said, how big was the promised land? And I said, well, God, I don't know the parameters and all of that. I don't know if it stopped at the Mediterranean Sea and if it went up to the rivers of Syria and it went to the south and all of these places. I'm really not sure and all of that stuff. You know, that's initially for just a nanosecond. That's what went through my mind, Nick. And immediately Holy Spirit just, something leapt in my spirit. And Holy Spirit said the promised land was as big as they were willing to colonize. As much as they were willing to colonize, God said, I've given that to you. And the question that he has for us today is, what are we willing to colonize? What are we willing to marry ourselves to? See, here's the crazy thing about it, guys. We talk about God marrying himself to our land. In Isaiah 61, 62, he promised us he's going to marry himself to our land. But we talk about God marrying himself to our land, but God will not and cannot marry himself to our land if we haven't even married ourselves to our land. Some of you guys, y'all want God to marry himself to your marriage. You got to marry yourself to your marriage first. He said, brother, I did that. I walked down the aisle in 1983 and I put a ring on her finger and all that stuff. He said, yeah, you did the deal, but have you really married yourself to her? Now I promise you there's a difference. What are we willing to marry ourselves to? How deep are we willing to go in this thing? How wide are we willing to go? How far are we willing to go in this thing? That I'm going to marry my life turned around when I married myself to Harrelson County, and I've been here my whole life. I've never lived anywhere else other than a brief time in Texas. And I did not really marry myself to this land until I was about 50 years old. And all of a sudden, God stirred in me and he says, how long are you going to long for living in Montana? Or New Zealand or Patagonia or some of these other amazing places that you like to go to? How long are you going to long for that? He said, I have planted you in Harrelson County, West Georgia. And I have planted you there to flourish. And so me and Lori purposed in our heart, and there was a shift that took place. Instead of us resenting Bremen and Harrelson County and so much of the poverty mindset and all of that stuff that influences our area and the backward thinking and the small-mindedness, and instead of making fun of it and all of that stuff, all of a sudden we started to embrace the fact that we're a city set on a hill and God has placed us here. And if we will marry ourselves to this land, then He will marry Himself to our land. Some of you guys need to do that in this house. We don't have church members here. But there's a lot of people, you're attendees, but you've not married yourself to this place. You need to marry yourself to this place. If this is where God's planted you, some of you are in the process of figuring that out. That's cool. That's cool, man. You figured it out and everything. But if you've been here for 20 years, you should have had it figured out by now. You know, one way I can tell is I'll be in conversation with somebody and they've been here for 10 years and they still refer to it as y'all's church or your church. I have people make that comment all the time. And I'm like, daggone, man. I don't say it to them, but I say, I know where your heart is in this. And God's not interested in hirelings. God is interested in sons and daughters. And we'll never be a son or a daughter until we marry ourselves to something. We need to decide if we're going to get all in. I'm talking about in this kingdom living stuff. I'm not talking about just Victory Fellowship, but that is very applicable for some people. You know, I'm going to bounce around and I'll go here and I'll go there and all that stuff. That's okay. I'm not saying God doesn't move people. Some of you, I'm so thankful God moved some of y'all in. So thankful for that. I'm excited that the people that are yet to come. Because I see people on the horizon. And God's bringing them in. I hadn't even met some of them yet, but God's going to bring some fabulous, amazing people into this place. And I'm so excited about it. And God's going to grow some up within our midst, just our children. But I just want you to get this thing that I'm going to marry myself to the places that God's planted me. If you'll marry yourself to Him, you won't have a wandering eye for the next best thing that's going to come in. That I've always got my eye on the door in case this don't work out. Just using y'all as an example. I'm not saying she's scanning the horizon or anything, brother. If you're on podcast, that's my daughter and son-in-law I'm talking to. But I really believe that. I really believe that. And so I have to ask ourselves, how much am I willing to colonize? Because that's how big your promised land's going to be. That's how big your promised land's going to be. Marty, I'm glad you're here this morning, brother. I started to call you and say, you need to come because I got a word for you, but I don't roll like that. I said, God, I'll give it to him when I can. The Lord spoke to me specifically about you and Krista and what he's doing in Honduras. And he told me that Honduras will be as big as you're willing to colonize. It'll be as big as you're willing to marry yourself to. And I believe he's going to start shifting your vision. I know you're down there a lot, brother, but I believe even as we go this week, as we leave Thursday and we set our foot down, I ain't got to figure out how to pronounce the capital yet, but when we set our foot down there and we start going to these different regions in the country, I believe God's going to change your vision, and I believe your vision is going to be expanded, and I believe God's going to take the lid off of your expectations of how big God can use you down there. Because you say, man, I'm just a simple guy from West Georgia, East Alabama. And there's nothing fancy about me. That's exactly why he chose Peter, James, and John. It's exactly why he chose Andrew. That's exactly why he called Isaiah and Jeremiah. That's exactly why he went into the threshing floor and said, Gideon, you're a mighty man of valor. And Gideon's sitting here saying, who, me? And he says, yes, exactly you, because I see you through the lens of heaven. And I believe even this week, that if nothing else on this week, I believe that as we go down, I believe your vision is going to change for the country, and I believe you're going to be able to see with expanded vision. And I believe God's going to stir in your heart, and He's going to say, everything that you set your sole of your foot to, everything that you are willing to marry yourself to, I'll give it to you. I believe that. I felt that last night. I started to call you last night, and I said, no, I'll give it to Him when I see Him. But I felt that, so I got messed up on that last night, brother. And it doesn't, I think there is something to do with us going with you, and I really feel like God's going to start doing something in that capacity as well. But man, this is about what God says and declares over you guys. And there's no way that Heidi Baker, when she took over a little dilapidated orphanage in Mozambique, that she had never thought in her mind, in her natural mind, that God was going to give her the country. But He has given her that country. There is no way Katie Davis is a little girl that was 2 years older than you, Madeline. And she goes on a mission trip. That God is going to capture her heart for a country. And she's going to go in and she's going to have a broad spectrum on what she's going to impact and influence there. And it's still just growing and growing and growing and growing and growing. And the question for all of us is, how much are we willing to colonize? And as you go there and we walk around to these different places, whether it's the inner city or in El Tezate up in the mountains and all of that stuff, as you look on it, I believe God's going to be asking you all week, what are you willing to colonize? And I believe you'll feel it as he talks to you on the phone. And he'll say, baby, this is what God showed me today. And I believe something will stir in you and something will begin to come alive and rise up in you. And I believe you guys will believe for more. Because I know you view yourself as a simple man, but God does not view you as a simple man. God does not view you as a simple man, brother. That ain't just preacher speak, okay? I don't do this. Y'all, you can ask the people that are in here all the time. I don't do this. I'm not trying to flatter you. I'm trying to say this is what the Lord says about you. And this is what the Lord says about the moment for down there. And I'm believing that. The question for all you guys, Brett Kent, what are you willing to colonize? What are you willing to colonize? What are we willing to colonize? That's how big our promised land is. What are we willing to come on and take stewardship over and take ownership over? And say, I'll put my hand to this. And God will use me and I'm going to be fruitful. I'm going to multiply and He's going to give this to me. That's how big your promised land is going to be. How much are you willing to colonize? So I just began to write that and just begin, God began to stir that in me and all of this. And He carried me immediately. He began to carry me to the story of Joseph. And the cities in Egypt. And we're going to get into the story and we're going to do a lot of good teaching that the Lord showed me a lot of cool stuff in this about Joseph and us being a type of Joseph, but are following the pattern of Joseph. But He carried me to the barns that Joseph filled with grain. And everybody, y'all kind of familiar with the story of Joseph? 13 years of captivity, servitude. But he had dreams from God. He had vision from God. And then God launched immediately and suddenly. But we know and suddenly doesn't just happen. It took 13 years for that unsuddenly to happen. But all of a sudden he was elevated to a position because God moved on hearts and God gave him vision, gave him wisdom, gave him detailed stuff. And immediately he found favor with the king of the country, the Pharaoh of the country. And God had caused and God prophesied through a dream to a pagan king that there was going to be 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. And Joseph came in and Joseph interpreted the dream. He got elevated. And we're going to talk all about all that stuff. But the Lord carried me to the barns and He said that the barns are not just a place for storage. But the barns are actually just as importantly a distribution point. My name means barn. Your name means barn. Garner means barn. That's what it means, barn. I've always loved that because I said, man, I'm going to be a storehouse. I'm going to be a storehouse. And I always embraced that. But God came in and He said, but the storehouse is also a point of distribution. And a storehouse, if it is not a point of distribution, can become a graveyard. And one of the prophetic words that the Lord told me to release to this house today is that this year in 2019, the Lord will require, He put emphasis on that word require, the Lord will require that you become a point of distribution. Not just a storehouse, but a point of distribution. Because this house is full of believers that you guys have been imparted into. You've been filled. You've got good word, not just from this pulpit, but you from every man or woman that's... Y'all, ladies, y'all got a good word Tuesday night from Mama Lori. I know the podcast y'all listen to. Y'all have heaven downloading into your lives. My gosh, just the resources we have. The presence that we live in. So we are storehouses that should be full. And the word that the Lord told me to release to y'all is this year, 2019, God will require that you become a distribution point. And He said, if you do not become a distribution point, two things will happen. Number one, heaven will stop pouring into you. Listen. If you're not taking notes, go back and reread or listen to this later on. If you refuse to be a distribution point, a point of distribution, number one, heaven will stop pouring into you. Because Yahweh is a good steward. And He will not waste the resources of heaven. And number one, He will stop pouring into you. And secondly, if you refuse to be a point of distribution, He told me specifically, He said, the grain within you will start to rot. I fill my barns with hay every year. Anything that I have left from the previous year, I rotate it out. It's the first thing I feed the next year because I know it has a shelf life. The first cutting on my hay typically has grain head in it. It is good the first year. It is phenomenal the first year. The second year, it's okay. The third year, it's rotten. And I believe that's why so many people that I know in Christian life, I'm not saying just Victory, I'm going to throw all y'all under the bus, but so many people I know in Christian life that get so frustrated with kingdom living, it's because their grain is rotting as they walk around and do life. It's because they refuse to be a point of distribution. Because if you're a point of distribution, you have to deal with all types of people. If you're a point of distribution, it means you have to empty out. You have to empty out. You have to release what has been stored within you. You have to release that. And that's expensive on your part. That's expensive on your part. But if you want to see the glory, if you want to see heaven continue to pour in, you know what? God also told the children of Israel as they're about to go into the promised land. He said, I'm not going to give it all to you at once. But He said, I'm going to give it to you piece by piece by piece by piece. Because He said, it's impossible for you to colonize everything at one time. But He said, as you can, because He actually told them, He said, the wild beast will overtake you and annihilate what you have. If you try to take it all at once. So He says, I'm going to give you as much as you were able to colonize and expand and expand and expand. So when I say this, I want you to know some of you, the silos, the barns are completely different sizes. But I don't care how small you deem your silo, it's still there to store grain and to release it into a world. That's in a place of famine. That's in a place of, I like the King James word on that, dearth. It's in a place of dearth. So, everybody receive that word? Are you going to do something with that word? If you refuse to be a point of distribution, don't expect God to keep rocking your world. Because here's what will happen, is you'll look at all these people around you and they'll be getting their world rocked and you're like, I don't get it. Does God like them better than me? No, they're just a point of distribution. And you've refused to be that. All right. Yay, God. Genesis 41. I promise you my second prophetic word's a lot nicer. All right, we're going to start in verse 14. I'm going to try my best to hit this. In a good way that we don't try to drink out of a fire hydrant, because like I said, God's all about the slow burn, and so we're not in a huge rush. I want to get to one place in this, and we're going to hit on it fairly quickly, and then we're going to come back and hit some stuff. Just giving you a little bit of background on Joseph. Joseph was a young man. He was one of the sons of Jacob. Jacob, for some reason, is one of my favorite characters in the Bible. I love Jacob. God changed his name to Israel, and he had these sons, and one, you know, Jacob loved Rachel, and he got Leah in the process also. Sometimes God will quit thinking that the Leah in your life is always from the devil, because the Leah in your life can produce amazing fruit. It'll never take the place of Rachel, which is the love of your life. But don't disregard Leah and her seed, because Leah can still produce amazing things. All right? And I see a lot of Christians, and I have been guilty of this myself, a lot of Christians, and they'll go through life and they'll feel like, and if you don't know the backdrop, this is kind of strange verbiage to you, but I know a lot of Christians and they go through life and it seems like I'm always getting hooked up with Leah. And I want Rachel. I know this isn't it. I know this isn't all God has for me. I mean, I'm on the security team at Victory. I know God's got more for me than that. I'm leading worship for 200 people, and I see myself bigger than that. He's got me teaching children's church, and I'm supposed to be speaking to the nations. I'm teaching nursery today. Wiping hineys and changing diapers. And it seems like our life is filled with Leah's and not Rachel's, because Rachel is the thing that we know we're destined for. Rachel is the thing that's got our heart, it's got our vision, and it's everything I long for. And we despise Leah, and we despise Leah's seed. And I want to tell you something, guys. There were 12 tribes of Israel, not two. And Rachel produced two sons, and those two sons were special. Those two sons were special. Those two sons were special. But doggone how you gonna discount the tribe of Judah. Come on, somebody. The stuff that you produce along the journey is something that can be amazing and powerful. But we want to forgo all of that until I get Rachel. So long story short, I didn't even mean to say that this morning. Just some of y'all needed that, I think. The thing in the backdrop of this story is there were 12 sons, and two of them were favorite sons, because the two favorite sons came from Rachel, and that was the love of Jacob's life. He labored 14 years for her, and he made one of those sons, Joseph, a coat of many colors. And his brothers were jealous of him for that, and they despised him for that. And then to go on top of it, man, it's like God's kiss was on his life, and God comes in and God starts giving him these dreams. And it's cool. Sometimes you just don't have to share everything God says to you. And he comes to his brothers and he's like, man, I had this dream last night, and God gave me this dream, and in this dream you guys were bowing down before me. And, you know, your older brothers, you say, hey man, you're going to be bowing down before me one day. And my father's going to be bowing down before me one day. That don't sit well with a carnal mind, you know. But it was stuff that God was putting in him. He knew to be true about him. He never forgot that. So his brothers are like, man, we're going to take care of you. And so they sold him into a lion pit, and they sold him into bondage to a caravan that was going into Egypt. And so here you go from the favorite of the father to getting sold into slavery. And he goes down to Egypt and he finds himself in a wealthy Egyptian, powerful Egyptian's home. And his wife puts a move on him. And Joseph was an honorable cat. And so he rejected her. So then she makes these, and as he fled the scene, as she tried to seduce him, she grabs his coat that he had, not the coat of many colors, that stayed back in Canaan. But she grabs his coat and she goes to her husband and said, this Hebrew that you brought into our house tried to violate me. And so he got punished for doing the right thing, and he spent years in jail. for doing the right thing. For just being a man of honor, being a man of character, being a man of integrity. All told, he spent 13 years in servitude. But while he was in jail, while he was in prison, he found favor from God. He was still in a realm of captivity, but he was in a place of influence in that realm of captivity. He was in a place of anointing in that captivity. He was in a place of favor in that captivity. The head jailer trusted him. And so, he's sitting here and he's in a place where he's not supposed to be, but he's still blessed. Can anybody relate to that? You feel like you're trapped in circumstances. You're trapped in Harrelson County. That's the way I felt. I was trapped in Harrelson County. I'm serious. Me and my wife in our younger years, you know, up until 10 years ago, we're like, what are we doing here? God, of all the places on the planet, we're free spirits. Of all the places on the planet for you to plant us, you planted us in Buckhannon, Georgia. It's so bad I didn't even tell people where I was from. They're like, where are you from? I'm saying, oh, I'm from around Carrollton, Georgia. You know, start inching back because I get Buckhannon. I mean, that how hillbilly does that sound? I'd be out in Utah, Deer Valley, and get strike up a conversation. Where are you from? You're from Texas or Georgia, aren't you? And I'm like, yeah, what part of Georgia? And oh, you know, around Bremen, West Georgia and all that stuff. I wouldn't even go down the road of Buckhannon. We got one red light. And we come in and we feel like we're captive to our circumstances. We're surrounded by people that we deem as small-minded people. And I wasn't thinking that about any of you guys, of course. It was the other side of the county, right? But we feel like we're trapped. And we feel like we can't flourish. And we know doggone well this isn't Rachel. And some of you are trapped by financial barriers, you feel like. Some of you are trapped because you've been divorced. Some of you may feel trapped because you feel like because you're single. Some of you may feel like you're trapped because you can't have children. And you see all these other people living what you deem as this amazing life, but you can't live that life because you fill in the blank. And Facebook doesn't help that. I'm not on a Facebook rant, but we see everybody else's fake life. And we sit here and we say, I'm in prison. But Joseph was literally in prison. And he found favor and he flourished. The "and suddenly" that we see in a few moments, that happened because of his 13 years of servitude and favor that he found in the servitude. If I could tell you anything, embrace the process and keep moving forward. Keep believing God, keep chasing God, keep pressing in and saying, God, I trust on your time and these things are going to come to pass. And you can either change my circumstances or you can change my heart. He changed my heart. He did not move me to Bozeman, Montana. I still have residence where I've always had residence. In Corinth. We'll get even further out from Buckhannon. Corinth. Sometimes I think we're the meth capital of the world. But if we stay faithful to the process, God promises He'll marry yourselves to our lives and our land and where He's planted us. Now people ask me where I'm from. You know what I say? Man, I live out in a little community called Corinth out in the country west of Atlanta, and it's heaven. And it's glorious. And it's beautiful. And it's home. And I'm sorry you're a millionaire that lives in Chicago, but I wouldn't trade with you five times over. Come on. Come on. And so Joseph is in this, and it's the fruit of Leah. I need to do some teaching on the fruit of Leah, don't I? Because y'all all view that as the devil. Some of y'all are the fruit of Leah, and y'all are just glorious. Some of y'all came out of jacked up families and you're the fruit of Leah. You're glorious. Some of y'all the world would say are damaged goods. Michael, the world would say you're damaged goods, brother. At best, you're the seed of Leah. But you know what Yahweh says about you? He says you're glorious. And you're powerful. And you're beautiful. And you're a kingdom man. That's what He says about you. That's what He says. He hadn't forgot about Joseph. It got so bad, guys, 11 years into this time of servitude, the king's butler and baker got cast into prison. The Pharaoh got cast into prison because they fell out of favor with him. And so the jailkeeper, these two officials got in charge of the ward of the prison. So who does he get and say, you take care of these boys? Who gets to call? Joseph. He says, man, they're in your care. Take care of them. Because here's the deal. With a Pharaoh, with a king, an earthly king, he's liable to change his mind next week. And one of these guys wasn't just a butler, he was the cupbearer. He's in the king's ear. So you know how I want him to rate on my TripAdvisor rating? There's a time in my prison, I want 5 stars. And I want him to say wonderful things about my prison. Right? And so he entrusted him to Joseph. And so they rock on in this thing, and both of them had dreams. And word got to him, said, hey man, there's a guy in here that he can interpret dreams. Because Joseph went in one day and both of them were troubled. He looked at their countenance of their face and he said, what's wrong with you guys? And they said, man, we had this dream last night. Both of us had 2 separate dreams and we don't understand the dream. He said, well, what's the dream? I can interpret it for you. He says, man, I'm a guy that God speaks to. And I have dreams myself. Me too. I have dreams. And I've got interpretation of dreams. And so they share the dreams with him, and he gives them the interpretation. And one of them, he said, man, you're going to find the cupbearer. He said, I see these 3 clusters of grapes, and the juice is being squeezed into this cup, and you're giving it to the king. He said, you know what this means? He said, in 3 days, the king's going to call you, and he's going to restore you to your place, and you're going to give him cups of wine again. And so the baker, the chief baker, he gets all excited. He's like, yeah! He said, tell me about... But here's what he told the cupbearer. He said, hey, when you're restored in 3 days, he said, don't forget about me. He said, remember me. Remember me. Remember me. Have anybody ever told you, I'll take you with me? I'll take you. I'm committed to you, man. And then they forget about you. They forget about you. They move on to new friends. I know that don't strike a chord with anybody in here, does it? We're going to do life together, and then they move on to new friends. And you feel like you're sitting there left hanging. And it hurts. And you say, man, I'm still trapped. I thought these people were people God was going to use to elevate my life and add value to my life and to help my life and all of that stuff. And they forgot about me, and they moved on to the new, best, next thing. This is for you. And the chief baker gave him his dream, and he said, ain't going to go well for you. He said, in 3 days, the king's going to hang you, and the fowl are going to eat your flesh. He's like, glorious! So guess what? The king hung him in 3 days, and the fowls ate his flesh. But here's what happened in that. 2 years went by, and the king's cupbearer forgot about Joseph. And we feel like we get passed over. We feel like we get forgotten about. We feel like we get abandoned. We feel like we get betrayed. We forget about, or we feel like our life is just this forgotten thing that's never going to amount to anything. And while the king's butler forgot about Joseph, God never forgot about Joseph. 13 years in servitude, and God never forgot about Joseph. God's not forgotten about you. God knows where you are. He sees your circumstances. He knows what's going on in your life. The good, the bad, the otherwise, God knows what's going on in your life. And it has not changed His thoughts towards you, and it has not changed His plan for your life. And so God in His beautiful, perfect timing, He orchestrates something. And the king has a dream. The Pharaoh has a dream. I keep calling him king, so y'all relate. Pharaoh has a dream. And it is, he goes to all his, he has it twice. And he goes to all his wise men and he says, man, this is my dream I had. It troubled him. He knew it was heavy. It was more than just, I ate too much lasagna last night. He said, this is something significant. This is something heavy. So he calls all his wise men together and none of his wise men, they're like, I ain't got a clue, man. I don't know. And the cupbearer, the chief butler, he's like, oh man. God. He said, King, I'm guilty of a sin. He said, when I fell out of favor with you and I was in prison, he said, I had a dream. And there's this Hebrew guy that's in prison and he interpreted it for me. And he interpreted the dream for the chief baker. And both of them came true exactly like he said. And so the king says, go get him. He sent for Joseph. And so that's where we are. That's the leading up to the beginning of our text. And it says, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. But look at this. This is important. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. He shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. How you posture yourself when you're at the point of promotion determines how you get promoted. Because what we'll tend to do is we'll be like, no, man, I've been rotting in this jail for 13 years or in servitude for 13 years. And if they want me, they're going to take me like I am. I'm going to show them how I've been mistreated. And we won't say it, but we'll shake our fist toward God. We'll say, God, you see the hurt on me? You see the pain in my life? You see how people have betrayed me? You see how I've been forgotten? You see how I've gone through all of this and I didn't shave because I wanted you to see how bad it's been in my life? And we'll come to God trying to put shame on God because He allowed it to happen. Come on, this is heavy right here. And we try to put shame on God because we say He allowed it to happen. And we refuse to change our clothes and we refuse to change our countenance and our appearance before Him. I ain't going to shave. I'll go like I am. I'll go like I am. Because I want God to know how bad it's been. And I want God to know I've been forgotten. But that wasn't Joseph. Joseph didn't come before Pharaoh like that. Joseph changed his clothes. It said they got him hastily, so they were in a hurry. The king was in a hurry. But he said, wait a minute. I know this thing feels like it's urgent. My freedom is at hand. Because I'm sure they told him why they were coming. King's had a dream. And Joseph in his heart's thinking, I'm your guy. Because God allows me to interpret dreams. And so there was an urgency, but he said, wait a minute, I can't come before God like that. This promotion that we're talking about for 2019, this place of distribution, this distribution point we're talking about in 2019, some of you need to pause for just a second and change your posture and change your countenance. Instead of saying, it's about time, God. It's about time they put me in ministry. About time I got to sing on the worship team because I'm way more anointed than any of them jokers up there. Just ask my wife. She sings. Hears me sing in the shower. It's about time somebody recognized me. And what we need to do, I'll say we, what we need to do, Brett, is we need to pause for a moment and we need to see how we have clothed ourselves. Before I go out to the world, before I walk into new freedom, I need to see how I clothe myself. And I am not talking about your physical raiment, but how are you clothing yourself? How is your countenance? How is your posture? He said, I know this is urgent, but I got to shave. And I believe Joseph was one of them together guys. Joseph was probably one of these guys. I mean, he may have had a beard, but I bet he didn't have no neck beard. I bet he shaved every day. I hate on you if you got a neck beard. That's between you and Jesus. But I bet he was one of these guys. He took care of himself.
He said, well, I'm going before the king.
I've got audience with the king. So let me change my raiment. I love the story of Esther, man. It is so cool. When Esther has got her encounter with the king. Y'all remember the story when Esther had her encounter with the king? And what did Esther do? She had the ear of the king's chamberlain and all of that stuff. And she didn't say, girl, I look good in red. I'm wearing red because I am ravishing in red. You know, I've been getting in the tanning bed and I'm looking sharp and all of this stuff. And I know how I look good. You know what she did? She went to the chamberlain. She said, what is the king like? She said, what is the king like? And the chamberlain said, well, his favorite color is blue, and he likes Nat King Cole. So you go in with your little iPod rolling with little Nat King Cole going on wearing blue, girl, and it'll be like, mmm. And her approach was such, she captured the heart of a king. We come into the king and we are unshaven and we are clothed in the wrong clothes and we're just saying, now's my chance for promotion, but let me rub it in his face a little bit first. Whew. And you know what God does with that? He says, your pride is a stench in my nostrils. Jesus said, blessed is he who is not offended. He said, offenses will come, but blessed is he who is not offended. You want to come before God and you know what you're wearing? The clothing of offense. You just don't know what they did to me. Wow, really? I'm coming before Yahweh. And I'm wearing the clothing of offense because I didn't get put in their life group. I didn't get invited to their dinner. Didn't nobody call me and ask me if I'd go help chaperone carrying the youth to Bethel. But see, it ain't talked to me in 3 weeks. I didn't know you'd been here for 3 weeks because as soon as the service is over, you and your car are gone. Come a half hour early and pray in the altar. I'll notice you. Damon ain't texted me in 2 months. I thought we was in covenant. How does Yahweh feel about that? Wow, come into my presence. You're awesome. He changed his clothes and he shaved. The second word that I want to release to you guys this morning, it's a good word, I promise. I'm going to jump to it. We'll backtrack and we'll start teaching this other stuff. I would love, trust me, I'd love to spend an hour and teach through this, another hour and teach through this, but I'm not. I'll do that Wednesday. Long story short, Joseph comes in and he interprets Pharaoh's dream. And Pharaoh's like, wow. Not only does Joseph, he so bears witness down in the deep calling out to deep in Pharaoh. He interprets his dream, and not only does he interpret his dream, and Pharaoh's sitting here with all of his wise men and all of his counsel, all of his servants. And so Joseph is around this huge group of people, and he comes in and he interprets this dream, and he shows Pharaoh what was really in his heart and what's going to happen to his nation. And then Joseph comes in and he says, here's what you need to do. There's 7 years of plenty and then it's going to be followed by 7 years of famine. And what you need to do in those 7 years of plenty is you need to make sure that you put 20% in the storehouse. 20% in the storehouse and you establish storehouse cities all across the nation in Goshen. And I don't know if Alexandria was going on back then, but they say Alexandria and in Cairo and all of these places. I'm not real good on my ancient Egyptian antiquity. But all of these cities, let's make them storehouse cities. And then, when the 7 years of famine come, you'll be covered, you'll have distribution, and you'll feed the land. And he said, you need to find a man that is wise and discreet and put him in charge of this. No self-promotion. He didn't say, I'm your guy. You know what Pharaoh said? This absolutely just blew my mind. Pharaoh comes in. And he didn't say, God, I gotta find somebody that's smart as being a comptroller. He's basically saying, you're gonna be comptroller of the country. The CFO. You're gonna be CFO of our country. The minister of finance. The minister of all of this stuff. He came in and Pharaoh said, how can we find a man that's got the Spirit of God in him? That's his exact words. From a pagan king, Brett. The heathen says, I need to find somebody that's got the Spirit of God in them. Woo! And then it's like everybody in the room's looking at Joseph and he's like, you the man! You're my man! I'm going to make you... Man, we're about to get in some heavy stuff right here. Hang on with me for about the next 3 or 4 minutes. He said, I am going to make you in charge of all of Egypt. He even comes in and says, you're going to be in charge of my household. I'm going to lay some deep spiritual truths on y'all on that a little bit later on. He said, I'm going to put you over my household. I want to tell y'all something. Daddy left me in charge. And Daddy left you in charge. And Daddy left you in charge, Joseph. And he left you in charge, Ashley. Cynthia Leroy, he left you in charge of this planet. He left you in charge of this planet. And he says, you're in charge of my household. Now redeem it. That's what he was saying to Joseph. I find that it's one thing to say you're in charge of this planet, but you're in charge of Egypt, of all the crops and all that. But he even came in and he took it to a whole another level and said, you're in charge of my household. You know who was in his household? His children. He entrusted it to his children. Y'all remember in John 20, I think it's verse 3. Jesus comes in and the disciples are hiding for fear and man, they haven't seen the bodily resurrection of Jesus yet. They've been told of it, but they've not physically seen it. They hadn't had encounters with Jesus. They're hiding for fear of the Pharisees because they said, man, they just killed Jesus. They're going to kill us too and all that. And Jesus walks in and he says, peace be still. And he says he showed him his scars in his hands and his scars in his side. And he comes in and he says, he's validating, it's me, guys, and I'm resurrected, you know. We're probably going to sing that. I'm jealous. Y'all probably going to sing it while I'm in Honduras next week. I ain't no grave, you know. And if it couldn't hold him, it couldn't hold all that stuff. But he shows them all of this. And then he breathes on them and he says, receive you the Holy Ghost. And then he does something amazing right after that. And we try to skip over it because we can't understand it and we don't want to preach it because it messes with us. You know what he said? He said, whosoever sins you remit, they remit. Whoever sins you retain, they retain. And you know basically what he was saying? He's saying, I'm giving you authority over the sin curse. And I'm giving you authority over the sin curse in my house. I'm giving you authority in the house of God to come in. And I want to ask us a real, real, real important question. Not where I'm wanting to eventually land on this thing. But I want to ask us a real important question. What are we speaking and declaring over the stuff that's God's? What am I declaring over the people of this house? Have y'all noticed how my language has changed in here recently? I don't know if some of you picked it up. Y'all notice how much I talk about how beautiful y'all are? Y'all look like every other congregation in Harrison County. But when I look at you, I see you as beautiful. Because all of a sudden I'm seeing you through God's lens. And I'm speaking life over you. And when I saw them youth down there, Nick, just worshiping their brains out Friday night and just tears streaming down their face and their hands lifted up to Yahweh and praising Him and releasing the song that was in their life, I didn't see them as kids that come from various backgrounds and various situations. I saw them as sons and daughters of the Most High God and being glorious and being powerful. And we have to ask ourselves on the John 23, and Pharaoh's sitting there and he's saying, I am putting you in charge of my house. And how will I steward that? And what do I declare over that? What will I declare over Honduras on Thursday when my feet touch the ground? Will it be pity? Or will it be kingdom glory? When we look at somebody living in a garbage dump, a junkie that's coming to a meal kitchen on Friday night. Ooh, like, man, sorry, joke. I'm glad I ain't him. That's what the Pharisee did in the temple. He said, I thank you, God, that I'm not like all these. But you had one that smote his breast and said, have mercy on me, for I'm a sinful man. That's the one that God touched. And he came in and he said something so powerful. And he said, Joseph, I'm going to put you in charge not only of my country, but I'm going to put you in charge of my house. Now listen, this is where I want to land this. I want to finish right here. The word then says, and he declared a bunch of stuff over him. Verse 40 said, thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. According to thy word, all my people shall be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than you. That's what Father God is declaring over us and saying over us. You know something else that I've never heard taught or preached or anything like that? Did y'all know that the Hebrews were actually an abomination to the Egyptians? To the point that they wouldn't even eat with them. You go over here a couple chapters later when Joseph's brothers and his family come and he says, man, I want them to come into my house and I'm going to feed them. They set a separate table up for the Egyptians and they would eat in the same room, but they would not eat at the same table. And he explained to his brothers, he said that the Egyptians won't eat with us because to eat with a Hebrew is an abomination to them. But yet, what he said happened in the nation. He said, nobody can move without your permission. Nobody can plant a crop. Nobody can till a crop. Nobody can harvest a crop. Nobody can put this in a storehouse. Nothing can be sold without your permission. And I want to say something to you guys. This is not the prophetic word that the Lord gave me, but I want to say something to you guys. The world has looked down at us so often and said that we are unlearned and we're ignorant. That's what they said about the apostles in the book of Acts. They say anybody of faith is intellectually lacking. And they tried to steal our kids by saying your parents are just backwards. They're antiquated. They're ignorant. They operate by this thing called faith and not by facts. And it's just to make them feel better about their miserable spot in life. That's what the world says. That's what the world says. That's what the church used to say about the Pentecostal movement. That's what the church used to say about the Pentecostal movement. And they may think I'm uneducated. They may think I'm ignorant. They may not understand that I'm a faith man. But when famine hits the land, I've got grain in my storehouse. When their marriage falls apart, I got grain in my storehouse. Come on. When their kids turn to everything in the world and they've done everything they can do, I've got grain in my storehouse. I may be a Hebrew, but I'm a point of distribution from Yahweh. Come on, somebody. That ought to make you happy. Because the world said it about you. You need to quit trying to be cool. You need to quit trying to fit in. You need to quit trying to be something that you're not and be who you are. And that's a kingdom man and a kingdom woman that is blessed by God. Because the world don't need you to be cool. Your kids don't need you to be cool. You guys don't need me to be cool. Y'all don't need me to be the best preacher in the house. Y'all just need to be me to be a good father. It's got a full storehouse. I'm not intimidated by the world anymore. I have lost the fear of man. God has ripped that out of me over the last several years. I have lost the fear of man. And you know why? Because I look at my barns and I know what they're filled with. One question for you guys is, what are you filling your storehouses with? Whew. It don't matter if the world makes you the sharpest cat on the planet. It doesn't matter. They can laugh at us from being from West Georgia. They can laugh at us because I used to wish that I could change my accent because I don't like to hear myself talk because I'm like, golly, I sound like a redneck hillbilly. I know I do. I'll never get a movie role, starring with Matthew McConaughey or anything like that. And I used to be like, God says, man, you got what they need. You got what they want. And Joseph was a Hebrew, but he was in charge of everything. And you know why he was in charge of everything? He kept Pharaoh alive. You know why he was in charge of everything? Because God orchestrated it. God orchestrated it. God orchestrated it. God orchestrated it. This last word. I lied to y'all so bad a while ago. I'm sorry. 3 or 4 minutes, yeah. Verse 41 and 42. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand. And he arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. I want you to notice something. Joseph was reclothed twice. Joseph was reclothed twice. When he came out of prison, at his opportunity for breakthrough, I'm free, man, I am free. I feel freedom, I smell freedom. Freedom is on the horizon. And he changed his clothes. And as he walked out of the prison in those different clothes and clean shaven, I do not believe, there is nothing in me that believes that Joseph was in shackles. He was not in shackles. He was walking just like every free man on the streets, we'll say Cairo, walking like every free man on the streets of Cairo with the Egyptians that went to get him. And he's walking in before the king and he is wearing a new set of clothes. Hallelujah. Thank God for a new set of clothes. Hallelujah. I'm not wearing my prison clothes anymore. Hallelujah. I'm not wearing my shame anymore. I'm not wearing my reproach anymore. I'm not wearing any of these things anymore. But after his encounter with the king, and the word says that Joseph did not change his clothes, he said the king changed his clothes. He said he put a ring on his finger, we know that means authority. It said he put a gold chain around his neck. That's an identity thing. But he did something even greater than that, and this is the promotion that I want to declare over some of you guys for 2019. If you'll be faithful in what the previous word that I said about the storehouses being points of distribution, if you will be faithful in that, and you will lean into God, and you will press into God, I believe that the Lord spoke to me, and he said, let me read this. I believe the Lord is saying 2019, he will place an even stronger identification on us that will be unmistakable to the world. That his hand of blessing is upon us. And I believe they'll look at us and they'll say, I don't understand it. They're just a bunch of boys from Harrison County. And they say, the only way you can describe it is God's favor is upon them. They're just a bunch of girls from she's just a woman from Bremen, Georgia. That's got an entrepreneurial spirit. I don't know what your degree is. I really don't even know if you've got a degree or not. You don't have a degree. You don't have a degree? How in the world do you expect to be a successful businesswoman if you don't have a degree? I'll tell you how you're going to be. You are a successful businesswoman. His name's Yahweh. And I believe I can safely declare it over you. He's going to put a new raiment on you in 2019 that's going to be different from the raiment that you wore in 2018. And the raiment you wore in 2018 was not a raiment of shame. It was not a raiment of reproach. It was not a raiment of regret. It was not a raiment that is associated with our sin nature. This new raiment that he has given us is a new identification. And it is going to be unmistakable to the world that God has married himself to our land. I believe when we walk and our feet touches the ground next week, and as we begin to walk, it won't be that we're a bunch of gringos that feel sorry for these folks, and here comes the rich Americans, and I hope they bring me something. I believe deep will call out the deep in them, and all of a sudden hope's going to rise in them. And it's not because of us, but it's because of who we represent. It's who we're bringing. It's who we're bringing. Remember now, guys, remember this. You are an official in Egypt, and it is an abomination for you to even eat with a Hebrew. And here this cat comes in. And everybody in the country knows he's a Hebrew. Everybody in the country knows he was in prison. Everybody in the country knows he's been a slave. For all they know, everybody in the country thinks he may be, he's without a father and without a family. And yet they look, and there's one thing that's unmistakable about him. He's wearing the king's clothes. And they know he didn't steal them. They know the king put them on there. And that's God's marrying himself to your life. It's greater than his kiss. His kiss is getting the call out of prison. His kiss is being able to shave and put on new clothes. But he's going to come in this year, and I believe that he is going to take a new vesture, and he is going to robe us in a new vesture. And the world may look at us, and they may scratch their head and not understand it and say, I don't understand why they are so lucky. They'll use that verbiage. I don't understand why they're so lucky. I don't know how it just all lined up. People have told me and Lord that our whole life. Y'all just lucky. It's luck that happens once. We used to coach basketball, and you know, somebody'd make a free throw, and the cheerleaders would be like, L-U-C-K, luck, baby, luck. But after you make 15 in a row, it stops being luck. It stops being luck after 15 in a row. It stopped being luck when the 7 years of plenty were 7 years of plenty. Stop being luck when famine started in year 8 and went to year 9 and year 10 and year 11 and year 12. But the grain silos are still full. And they stopped looking at him as a Hebrew and they started looking at him as a Savior. Come on, somebody. And that's what the world needs. You said there ain't but one Savior but Jesus. I know that, but I'm his representative. And he left me in charge of his house. And he left me in charge of his planet. And he says, I go to be with the Father. And I'm going to prepare you a place. I've got many mansions for you. And you're going to dwell in them right now. But he said, it's better for you that I go. Because I'm sending the Holy Spirit. The Word says, many years are led by the Spirit, says God. That's our calling card. That's our trump card. That's our ace in the hole. I don't walk through this because I'm good. I don't walk through this because I'm smart. I don't walk through this because I'm better than anybody else. I walk through this because I'm wearing a new raiment. And you know what that raiment is? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the living God is inside of me. The Spirit of the living God is flowing through me. And I've got it. There's enough oil on me. I ain't got to carry a bottle around with me. I'm oily enough. I'm oily enough, and you're oily enough. And they're going to look at you, and they may say, Matt Linda Walt Carter, she's kind of weird and all of this stuff. But I guarantee you, when the junk hits the fan, you know who they're going to look to? Linda Carter. I'm sure you are extremely intelligent, Jess. The Pruitt in you, right? These girls didn't come to you because you're the smartest teacher at Bremen. They came to you because you were clothed with love. You were dripping with grace. And that was the king's clothes because Pruitt's a little rough around the edges, just what I've been around them. I'm just saying, you know, if your parents are listening to this podcast, I apologize for that. I mean that as a compliment. Kind of like the Lees. I lob that over there. Or the Buddies. I lob that over there. You know, a little rough around the edges. And the world in need doesn't necessarily run to that. They want to run to what's refined. They want to run to what they feel like can make them fit in with the rest of the world. But when it hits the fan, when the junk hits the fan, when it gets dearth, who do they look to? They look to the Hebrew wearing the king's clothing. 5 years ago, they wouldn't eat with you. But now you're the one they look to for life. That's what Joseph said. That's what we're carrying, guys. That's what you guys are carrying. And I could go on for hours and hours and hours and hours about this and keep digging in this truth, guys. But that is the bottom line today. So I release that prophetic word over the whosoever has ears to hear in this house. I don't necessarily feel like I got them, that if you do the first one, you'll get the second one. But I don't see how you can do the second one without following through with the first one. Is that we're going to be clothed with something different, Brett. KST's going to be clothed with something different. And I know we're trying to develop cool products, and I know y'all are super cool guys and all of that stuff, but at the end of the day, our favor comes from Him. Our favor comes from Him. It comes from Him. It's the reason people from China are buying our stuff, and people from Russia is buying our stuff, and all of these places. It's the reason we're finding favor when we go to things and all of this stuff. And that's the reason blessing, because the King is clothing us in His vesture. And it's a different clothing than what He wore when He got out of prison. Some of you guys in here this year, you're going to get a promotion. You're going to get a promotion. Don't settle for not wearing your stinky prison garb anymore. Don't settle for that. I mean, it's better than what it was, right? But believe for more. Because He's got more. Want for more. Don't settle. Don't settle on your future. Because He comes in and He says, Michaela, I want to clothe you with something. It ain't just that I got saved and I'm going to heaven. He wants to clothe you with something else. He wants to clothe you. You know what Joseph told his brethren a few chapters later when he finally revealed himself to them? And they were feeling bad about selling him into slavery. They're like, oh man, we feel bad. I know you're probably about to kill us and all that. He said, man, no worries. He said, God sent me here before you to preserve life. You know what your mandate in this whole shooting match is, guys? To preserve life. To preserve life. To preserve life. To give hope to the hopeless. What did Jesus declare? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. To preach. He's anointed me to what? Preach the good news. Give hope to the hopeless. Heal the sick. Do all of these myriad of things that He did. And that's why He didn't clothe us so everybody say, well, look at Haven, man, she's awesome. Write a book. He did that so you could preserve life. That's your mandate. I don't know what it's going to look like, Casey, but I know what it is. It's preserving life. It's preserving life. Man, let's stand to our feet. I know I've been long this morning. You have no idea how long I wanted to teach today. I got 6 pages of notes, hadn't been touched yet. Y'all talk sweet to Nick next week. He might have a 25-minute sermon yet for you. We're not even going to do an altar call this morning, guys. But I pray that the word that went out this morning goes deep in you. And I pray that it leaps in your spirit and something comes alive. And you purpose in your heart, I'm going to be a point of distribution. Remember the word in that, require. Require. It wasn't if you feel like it or what, it's require. Require. Require.